I suppose it's time to begin. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a joy to be with you today on this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. Our reflections today will be ordered towards her. I was told you received a bit of a biography of me earlier today, so no need to retrace old steps. But I have been blessed to be a priest now for a little over 10 years. And I think it was prior to my ordination, the last time I was here at Mother the Redeemer Farm, so it's good to be back in a place that I prayed many times leading up to ordination. I did recently have a 10-year reunion with some of my seminary classmates. I went to Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, and there were 9 or 10 of us that joined together in Savannah, Georgia. We had a house that we could share meals with and share war stories, if you will, of the priesthood. And there was one day we arranged for a bit of a boat trip out, which is actually quite hilarious because before our ordination out in Maryland, we decided to take a boat trip in Annapolis, Maryland, there where the Naval Academy is. We decided to go on a sailboat. And there was no wind that day, so we actually had to turn the motor on and we didn't get the full experience, so we weren't successful that time, so we thought, why in the world do we think we'll be successful this time around? We got on what they call a tritune, so this pontoon boat that has 3 kind of pontoon devices underneath it. We leave the marina there in Georgia, go through a river, and we're going out to what they call the Wausau Sound. It goes out to Wausau Island, which is basically on the ocean. And what we didn't really plan for was the incredible winds that day. So really, if we had maybe a more experienced navigator, we probably wouldn't have gone out at all. But it might have been one of the most frightening boat experiences of my life, where we never thought we were going to capsize, but it was like being on Splash Mountain without going to Disney World, right? So just wave upon wave, getting doused in water, quite a frightening experience. And then we finally get to this island, which is essentially deserted, just a place to walk along the sea. And we couldn't even get close to the island because we probably would have like grounded out, and we actually had to jump out of the boat and swim probably 50 yards to get to where we were going. So just not for the faint of heart. And it was worse getting back on the boat. We had to swim out to this boat, get on there with this rocky boat. We actually never doubted we would get home, but we knew it was an adventure we would never forget. And me being an Indiana boy, grew up Lafayette, not exactly a seafarer, not, you know, the Wildcat Creek is about as crazy as it gets for me. And I gained a real respect for the sea out there in Georgia. And it makes sense of why all those pagan religions actually would have a god of the ocean, right? That this such power must come from a divine source. And you have to respect the power of the sea. And I also gained respect for sailors and even those explorers, you know, Magellan and Columbus and all the rest, who saw very rough waters but somehow could navigate them and not be overcome by the fear. This idea of respecting the water and battling large waves comes to mind today, because historically this is why we celebrate Our Lady of the Rosary on October 7th. That commemorates the victory of the Battle of Lepanto back in 1571. This was, at least it's accepted by most historians, as the largest naval battle in recorded history. So just to give some context, we don't need to have a whole history lesson here today, but to know that, you know, at least from the 7th century, there have been conflicts and bloody conflicts between Christianity and Islam. So Muslim forces were always inspired to try to capture and establish these Christian cities as Muslim ones. And this was true especially in the two centuries, three centuries leading up to the 1600s. The Battle of Lepanto took place off the coast of Greece. And it was the Muslim Turks, the Ottoman Empire, trying to capture Europe from the south. And much was at stake. So if they were able to succeed and land there in Greece, they would be able to sweep north and even reach Italy. So famously, Don Juan of Austria led the Holy League. So all these Christian nations that kind of combined forces. So at the time of the battle, there were 200,000 soldiers involved, and some say close to 600 ships. Imagine. They say that the formation was quite simple. It was one line of ships against another line of ships. And they said it spanned 3 miles from end to end to end. This is a massive naval battle, and the Christian forces were undermanned almost 2-1. So the odds were not good. And so famously, Pius V, a Dominican who was named Pope, called on the entire church to pray the rosary, asking Our Lady's intercession to protect the forces and to allow victory and preserve the church. So over 4 hours of battle, over 40,000 soldiers dead, and somehow the Holy League prevailed, and the Ottoman Empire did not succeed. Didn't mean they would continue to try over the subsequent centuries. We think of later the Battle of Vienna and other conflicts, but at any rate, that was a great victory that Europe would be preserved at that moment. What's interesting for us in that context is that the rosary was fairly fresh in the practices of the Christian faithful at that time. I don't need to give a full lesson of the history of the rosary today either, but the tradition says that Saint Dominic received the rosary from Our Lady herself in a vision. Prior to that moment, certainly Christians and other religions really used beads or rocks strung together to count the various prayers that they would do. Some say that the origins of the rosary has to do with how the monks would pray 150 psalms, and when the illiterate monks or the townspeople wanted to join in on those prayers, they would replace each psalm with a simple Our Father or a simple Hail Mary, thus the 150 Hail Marys, and some call it Mary's Psalter. But St. Dominic received it certainly in the form of a devotion to Our Lady and also a kind of spiritual weapon against error, a heresy, especially the Albigensian heresy. Most historians would say up to that point, the rosary did not have those specific mysteries attached to it yet. It certainly just had the string of Hail Marys and devotion to Our Lady. It comes a couple centuries later. But I'll return back to the Battle of Lepanto. This is one episode among so many we could point to in the history of the church and in our own lives of the power of Mary's intercession, the effectiveness of her intercession. I think of those words, the memorare we just prayed. Never was it known that anyone who fled your protection, implored the help, or sought the intercession was left unaided. It's been said that God, when God created the world, he assembled all the water and named it the sea. And in Latin, the sea means mare. And then when he assembled all of his graces into one, he called her Maria. And one of her titles, of the many, if you've prayed the Litany of Loreto, you know, there's a lot of them. One is Stella Maris, Star of the Sea. This is a title given to her in the early centuries of the church. It's enshrined in such hymns as the Alma Redemptoris Mater and the Ave Maris Stella. It was invoked mostly by sailors, those who were navigating the sea, who didn't have any landmarks of where to go, and certainly found the rough waters to be quite frightening, that like the North Star, that brightest star in the sky, against the dark background of the sky, the one that was immobile, the one that was sure that we could get our bearings, we could get our direction. Mary is much like this, that she was the sure route to our heavenly home. She would shine brightly with her virtues against a dark world that we live in. She is the sure guide. And she also teaches us, of course, by her virtues and example, that the remedy for fear when faced with large waves is trust in her Son and trust in our Heavenly Father. On this Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, in this commemoration of the Battle of Lepanto, and this reflection about the power of not just the waters, but the power of Our Lady, we should probably contemplate what are those waves, what are those storms that we are most frightened by. There are plenty of storms in our world. If you pay attention at all to global news, whether it's war and the ravages of war and the possibility of nuclear war, whether it's famine in various places, the violence in Nigeria or otherwise, maybe it's closer to home in the fear of the future of democracy. Those are all storms that we face. But maybe the storms that come to mind are those storms that face the church. Whether it's the scandals of various priests, the scandals of various bishops, their cover-up or cowardice. Maybe it's those headlines coming from Germany. Maybe it's the response or lack of response from Dubia, or reports you get about a synod in Rome. Those are all storms that can strike fear in the heart of anybody navigating this life. And I wish to caution you about what you consume with regards to not just news, but conversations, because I think there are plenty of people that make it their goal to stir the waters without any hope that they would be calmed eventually. They revel in the storm. This is not what our Lord wants. It reminds me of another quote I just heard recently using different imagery. Some people bring the heat, but they bring no light. But particularly where we should begin when we reflect on the storms of our life are more in the realm of our own souls. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux wrote of Mary, "If the winds of temptation arise, if you are driven upon the rocks of tribulation, look to the star, call on Mary. If you are tossed upon the waves of pride, of ambition, of envy, of rivalry. Look to the star. Call on Mary. Should anger or avarice or fleshly desire violently assail the frail vessel of your soul, look at the star. Call upon Mary. We're reminded that Mary's intercession has powerful effect. She's not the one that calms the storm. Of course, our Lord does. We have the story in the scriptures, both Matthew and Mark and the Gospels recount the details of Jesus's power to calm the storm. We also remember that episode of Peter walking on water and how he begins to sink precisely when he takes his eyes off of Christ. And so what does Mary do? Mary, the star of the sea, she always directs our gaze upon Christ instead of those waves and storms. That way we don't overreact and let our emotions get the best of us. In the rosary, which is Mary's great device to turn our attention to the mysteries of her son, it's almost a chain of beads that help us chain us to her. She'll bring us safely home. And I suppose I'll conclude with this thought of this quote of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. The world is thy ship and not thy home. Just the mere recognition that this world is not an end in itself will calm the storm of our soul so often. That when things seem to be falling apart and the waves are crashing, heaven is our homeland. There was a lot at stake at Lepanto, and it was more than Christendom and all the churches and all the art and all the music and all the literature. Mary interceded on behalf of the church because souls were at stake. That Christ's life and people's souls were at stake. And I'll certainly develop this thought in the homily here as we begin Mass shortly. That ultimately all of Christian culture is an outflow of our union with Christ, and this is what Mary is interested in. And this is why she gave the church the gift of the rosary, and that's why she shines in the sky as a directional beacon, making sure we don't get off course and don't let those waves get the best of us.